The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network. In a week that saw two managers heading for the job centre, Pete Gaskell joins me, Dan Taylor, as we take a look at the games we've got to look forward to this weekend. That's right, I'm back in the hot seat this week in the absence of Kyle West, who is talking to himself somewhere for his new chat show, The Kyle West Show, another podcast hosted by our very own Compass Network. Not only are two clubs looking for a new boss this week, but two clubs will be licking their wounds after last weekend. One of those sides, league leaders Arsenal, face equally challenging opposition this weekend. Pete, will they struggle to bounce back against Chelsea? They are at home, but you know, will they hit their stride once again, or will it be a few teething problems for them?
It's a tough one, because it would probably be two toughest matches they'll have all season, or two of the toughest matches they'll have all season. We're going back to back, aren't they?
This probably isn't the side they wanted to face after that defeat, really.
Exactly. I mean, but why, the Arsenal still played well against City. That's a weird thing about it. They scored three goals. I mean, that's normally a winning margin, isn't it? But City are City, so I don't think we can take too much get too disheartened about this. I know Arsene Wenger's been making excuses for performance rather than just saying they're outplayed. So I suppose that might actually work in their favour. Oddly enough. And Chelsea haven't really hit a stride, have they? No. They've sort of been scrapping results out, but it's still an incredibly tough game. Coming off an exceptionally tough one. So it's a make or break little run, this Arsenal. It really is.
For Chelsea, obviously, it was actually quite a narrow win against Crystal Palace. They didn't really look like they were in the driving seat.
That's been the case much of the season. I think the first game of the season, they looked fantastic. And ever since then, they've sort of been scrapping over points, haven't they? But annoyingly, they've still been winning them.
They don't really look like a Jose Mourinho side yet either, do they?
See, I think they do. I think the fact that they're scrapping results out, I don't think we've got the style quite right, but yeah. I think the fact that they're getting results almost at any cost is very Mourinho-esque.
Did Mata look off colour to you again against Crystal Palace?
He's been like that all season though, hasn't he? I mean, I don't think he seems to gel really well with Mourinho style of play or Mourinho himself or something. It's not the same player.
Well, compared
to Eden Hazard, he looks a lot better. So.
Yeah, well, and Oscar as well, when he came
Oscar's
on.
Oscar's terrific.
Yeah, he just looked a lot more comfortable in that number 10 position than Mata did for the whole game. So I think, you know, he's almost proving Mourinho right for leaving him on the bench for the most part, because when he is featured, particularly in the starting 11, he's not really coming out all guns blazing as perhaps he should be. You know, you'd almost feel like he's got a point to prove, but he doesn't seem to be doing it at the moment. You said Arsenal shouldn't be, you know, too hard on themselves. What did they do well in the game?
Create chances. I think Theo Walcott coming back in is a big plus for them, because he was terrific. He was back like he was pre-injury.
Yes, yeah.
Scoring goals, adding something different to them rather than just sort of almost merry-go-round passing in the centre of the park. He added a bit of danger and pace as well, didn't he? Which is a good plan B for them, which we've been needing really.
Was Giroud unlucky, or has he just had, you know, a good start and now he's being found out a little?
I think he's not the best striker in the world, but he's benefited from having, you know, fantastic players, you know, providing chances for him, and those chances sort of dried up a little bit and he's suffering as a result. He's still the striker they've got. He's still better than Nicholas Bentner. They might be looking for someone else in January. I think if they're serious about pushing on and taking the title, they probably need to.
Yeah, it's almost crazy to think that Bentner's still in and around that Arsenal side. You know, he's on the bench. He's actually featuring. He's actually coming on.
It's their weakness, isn't it? It's a second striker. I think Podolski would have probably been that second striker. Always had a chance to get him that role.
Yeah.
He's been injured for a while, hasn't he? So.
Yeah. Is it possible that even Walcott could move into that striker? Because obviously that's the real position he wants to play, isn't he? He wants to be the big man in the middle.
He likes it, but I don't think Wenger likes him there, does he?
No. But he didn't miss much against.
I think he's a bit of an option. It depends when Oxlade-Chamberlain comes back, because I think if you've got Oxlade-Chamberlain, that frees up Walcott to be able to play up front. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's an option, isn't it? It's certainly better than Bentner, I'd have thought.
So it's a home game for Arsenal, so they've got to, you know, they'll have the home fans behind them. Do you think that will be enough to spur them on to a win, or what are you going for in terms of a result?
I'm going for a draw, actually. I think Arsenal will still create chances, and because it's Arsenal, I mean, look at that midfield, they're bound to create chances. But I just think Chelsea have just got enough, you know, tactical new and grit to sort of ride it out and grab something. So I think a 1-1 draw is what I'm looking at.
I think draw's probably right. I'm going to go for 2-2. I think, despite the fact that they ended up losing the game against Man City, they still scored 3 goals. They've still got goals in them. Chelsea, I'm not convinced, do have as many, but I think they'll be able to keep up. I almost think it'll be you score one, we'll score one, rather than a 2-2-0 and then come back to 2-2. I think it'd be very much even Stevens throughout the game. Goal of the week, what did you think it was this week, Pete?
It's very rare on here that we have a chance to praise Norwich, so I'm going to take the opportunity and say Gary Hooper's goal for Norwich was goal of the week for me. It was a terrific strike against Swansea, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It's a terrific strike. So that's going down to my goal of the week.
Yep, I'd probably agree with that one. We have a Twitter topic this week coming from Sophie Louise G. I think the second question she's put in for us, and she's just simply said, "What's your guys' prediction for successor?" And that was in response to the tweet we made about AVB's departure earlier this week. Were you surprised to see AVB go?
No, not well. You see, I was thinking it would be a bit of a tenuous game if you lost it to Liverpool anyway. But when the goals started racking up, I actually turned and said, "Yeah." When it went to 5-0, I thought, "He's gone. He's a goner."
Yeah.
You saw Daniel Levy's face at the end of the match. He's like, "Yeah, that's like an executioner."
In answer to her question, who do you think could be a successor
for AVB? I'm not sure. I think we'll go for a big name manager. I think that's looking at the likes of Fabio Capello, who's been pushed around, or Goose Hiddink. I don't know if Hiddink's in a job at the minute. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're probably still looking at the top four, aren't they? Because it's not that far away for them. So I think they'll be eyeing high. Glenn Hoddle's thrown his hat into a ring randomly, but I think that's a bit of an odd choice if you go for him. I'd probably say that we'll go for someone like Hiddink, if he's available, would be a good option. Just take him through to the summer, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Capello, though. He kind of feel like he might.
He's his former assistant, and I was at Baldini.
I kind of feel like he'd have a point to prove, though, coming back into this country and saying, "I'm not a bad manager. England are just a really bad side."
of course, the other option as well is Gianfranco Zola, who walked out of Watford, didn't he? So I presume he'll be going to West Brom, because I think he walked out of Watford before AVB officially got sacked, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
So presumably he was aiming to go to West Brom. That's my reading of it anyway.
Yeah. In relation to West Brom, did Steve Clarke deserve to go, or should he have been given a little bit more time?
I think that's quite harsh. I mean, we've had some bad results recently, but I mean, he did a terrific job in his first season. I think he's just been blighted by, the injury to Ben Foster didn't help, and a few average-ish performances. I think it was hard done by there, I think they'll struggle to find someone better.
And obviously, there's lots of talk about Malky Mackay as well, obviously,
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? The chairman basically going off on one and saying, you can't say you want a signing, I'm not giving you a penny. spend in January, which I think that's pretty tight, but yeah. I think all teams at the bottom end of the table do need to spend in January just to try and boost their hopes a little bit. You can't just sort of stagnate, can you?
Yeah. You kind of got to look at Liverpool, though, and the fact that, they've given Brendan Rodgers time, and look what he's done to them this season.
Exactly.
Look where he's taken them.
I've said this to a couple of people this week. I said, I think Rodgers is probably the best manager in the Premiership at the minute, just because he gave him time to impose his style on Liverpool. And this is the bins now, isn't it? There's a fantastic article I've just seen on the BBC Sport website about the 20 managers across Football League have gone before Christmas, and the same wording has been used on several of them in terms of the statement released by the club. 5 managers have had their contracts terminated, 4 have parted company, 4 have relieved of their duties, 3 have had mutual consent agreement. Sort of rubbish, including AVB. I don't think that was mutual. 1 has left the club of immediate effect. 1 had his resignation accepted. I think that was Ian Holloway. Mm-hmm. 1 had someone else taking over. And 1 was allowed to leave, which I think was Gianfranco Zola.
Mm.
It's all couched in metaphor every time, isn't it? None of them have said,
sacked. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see more go, though. I think we could be looking at almost a record season.
It's already the worst one since 2008.
Yeah, well.
I think there's a few more. I think certain managers in the Premiership are living dangerously.
Well, ultimately,
I was said
Malcolm Mackay,
Ian Holloway,
Sam
Allardyce,
Chris Hughton.
Chris Hughton at Norwich, yes.
And Poyet could go again. That's,
and Poyet could go again.
Fantasy football, quick look at that. It was actually a really interesting week this week. Kyle is actually doing all right.
I was doing really, really well, and then Suarez showed up.
Yes. Well, I think are you the only person not to have him in your
no,
side?
No, Paul doesn't have him. I'm very nice at mystery.
Yeah, but ultimately, yeah, Kyle's jumped up. But we'll go from first to, well, down to you.
it's not that far, Dave.
In first is Stephen Turner. He had another good week, 83 points. He's currently on a total of 971, almost the big 1,000, which I imagine he'll make by the end of the year. In second, AFC Tiverton, Tom Howe. In third, JT Vaughan, with a total of 947. I'm still in fourth, got 81 points this week, thanks to Luis Suarez, 919 points total. Fifth, Craig Phillips, our very own Kyle West has climbed up to sixth, Sam Roberts has also climbed up to seventh, Kyle Bongai has dropped to eighth, and unfortunately you've also dropped down to ninth. I think you were seventh last week, weren't you? Yeah, it's only 2 points.
I'm still looking at you for cup place.
Yeah, you can make up the ground. And actually, Kyle's wife has jumped into the top 10, so her job's safe. Moving on to our other game for this week. It was actually quite hard to choose between a couple of the games this week, but I went with Southampton versus Spurs. Obviously, you know, Spurs now managerless. Southampton still doing pretty well. You know, they've suffered a defeat, but ultimately they had a draw against Newcastle last weekend, and they played really well, so I'm sure they'll come out of that game with lots of confidence in going into this one against the side who now have no manager. You sometimes see, and Tim Sherwood's come out and said it today, that you get a reaction when a manager goes. Do you think Spurs can do that against Southampton?
It depends. I don't think Southampton's the best club to be playing when you have a new manager come in. It's all a bit of a mess. No one really knows what we'll be doing. Some will be thinking, you know, this is a chance to start fresh. Some will be thinking, oh crap, my place is gone. It's all up in the air. I mean, you can never can tell, but it'll be a problem facing a very organised unit like Southampton, who will probably think this is a great opportunity for them to take 3 points and overtake Tottenham, in fact, as they would do in the table if he could beat them. There are still people saying that Tim Sherwood might actually get the job at Tottenham. I don't think that's actually true, but he'd probably be looking at it and thinking, yeah, you know, I can stake my claim here if you can offer a result against Southampton. But it's a tricky one to predict because of, you know, the loss of ABB, etc.
And how do you think actually Sherwood's going to line out? Is he going to do what sometimes does happen when you get a caretaker manager come in and they'll bring back the older players? You know, we'll see Defoe come back and
Adebayor.
Yeah, and potentially even Adebayor.
Apparently, that was one of the reasons why ABB got sacked. He didn't play Adebayor enough.
Well, probably his wages is probably, you know, suffocating them. But yeah, do you think we'll see some of the old faces come back, or do you think he's going to experiment with more of the imports that ABB brought in the summer?
It's a tough one. I don't know. I won't be surprised to see Defoe come back into the side. I think he's probably going to see his chance. I think Alan Lennon might get back into the team somewhere on the line. Mm-hmm. But Tottenham have such a massive squad, you can't really pick a team. I think that's part of the problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a huge squad now of players of about similar skill level, haven't they? So it's almost a case of, you know, picking names out of a hat to pick that team. So I don't know. So hopefully for them we'll have a pun in mind, but it could be any team.
Southampton are still doing well, aren't they? Did you see the game against Newcastle?
I didn't at the time, no, but I heard it was really, again, very, very solid performance from them.
Yeah, well, ultimately, as always, as Southampton has been this season, you know, they held possession well, they passed the ball around well, and really they were just unlucky enough not to get enough chances in front of goal. Osvaldo again, a bit disappointing despite scoring that wonder goal. Now we're now 2 weekends back, and unfortunately they just weren't firing at all cylinders. I kind of think it was a mistake to put Lallana on the bench, because when he did come on, there was an instant impact. You know, his creative force that just, you know, makes chances almost from nowhere. And I think that's why they suffered in the first half. But Newcastle were a good opposition, and I would say that biasly.
but they're two sides of a piece, though, aren't they? Newcastle.
Yeah, I think it was a tight game. Do you think Tottenham are going to have enough about them, or is this going to be quite a comfortable game for Southampton?
I'm going to stick my neck out and say a 2-0 win for the Saints.
I actually had exactly the same. So there we go. Okay, we'll carry on with the predictions. We'll start at the top, starting on Saturday, the 12:45 game, Liverpool versus Cardiff.
3-0 to Liverpool.
Crystal Palace versus Newcastle.
2-0 Newcastle.
Fulham versus Man City.
Let's go 4-1 City.
Okay. Man United versus West Ham United.
2-1 Manchester United.
Stoke versus Villa.
1-1.
Sunderland versus Norwich.
1-0 Sunderland.
At West Brom versus Hull.
1-0 Hull.
And Swansea versus Everton on the Sunday.
2-2.
A quick look as well at the prediction league table. I don't even really need to look at it. I'm still at the top. And you're still on the bottom.
Who's in the middle?
Oh, Kyle. Our final topic, touched on it a little bit earlier, but is this one of the most interesting or exciting seasons since the league's inception? As the Premier League is now.
So far, I'd say it is. I think, as you sort of hinted at earlier, Dan, it's this case of the top 10 are all battling for Europe and the bottom 10 are all battling for survival, aren't they?
Yeah.
It is that simple. I mean, I think probably Swansea are the only ones who aren't one way or the other. They're just sort of twixt and between. But other than that, everyone from Arsenal down to Southampton is probably looking at Europe. Mm-hmm. Everyone from Villa down to Sunderland is looking over their shoulders, unless you're Sunderland. We're just looking at everyone else. But yeah, so it's exceptionally close, and one result can send you flying up the table, and a bad result can send you tumbling down. It can't. It's fascinating at this stage. I think it's going to be a terrific Christmas for that reason. It's just going to be. You're seeing positions shifting all over the shop.
And obviously, you said it last week, you said that top four, ultimately, you would imagine it's going to be the top four at the end of the season.
I would say so. Yeah. I'd say they're probably the four strongest sides in the Premiership, yeah.
And it's going to move around. It can move around so quickly. If Man United win, they could go top... Man United. Man City, rather. If they win and the other sides don't perform, ultimately they could go top. And that's quite an interesting thing to look at, you know, particularly with their goal difference as well.
Goal difference is terrifying. Plus 29.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If they go top, they would have to probably lose a game then to really drop out of that position.
Goal difference is an extra point, isn't it?
Because nobody's going to get close. Well, maybe Liverpool there. They're doing reasonably well on the goal difference.
They're scoring quite a few now, yes.
Yeah, but I would say their defence... I'd say their defence is frailer than Man City's, though, so they're likely to concede more in the future. But then that's tight as well. You know, Arsenal have conceded 17. Liverpool, Chelsea and Man City have all conceded 18. That's quite an astonishing amount, really. And, you know, then you look down the bottom... And with the exception of Sunderland, they're all on, you know, really tight amount of points. You know, both Fulham and Palace are on 13. West Ham are only a point above, which Sam Allardyce must be worried about, particularly considering their form. And, you know, West Brom only a point ahead of that. Cardiff 2 points ahead of that. It's all very, very tight. That's all we've got time for this week. Thanks for joining me again, Pete. Hopefully we'll have the normal team next week if there is a podcast. Because of all the Christmas and festivities, you can always check us out on our Twitter, which is soccer_podcast, or our own personal Twitters. Mine is DTT240991. Yours is Pete D. Gaskell. You can also follow Kyle at Kyle Thomas West. You can also go to our website at www.thecompassnet.com and check out our other podcasts, including The Kyle West Show, which you can download from iTunes. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network.